Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock. On the program today, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad later this hour at 7:45 as well. Taking your thoughts in the meantime at 615-737-1025. Discussing the Peter Skoronski contract, 4 years, $100 million, $88 million guaranteed. Your reaction to that, plus how many other guys could we be talking about here in the next couple of years for second deals, some high picks with second deals? I mean, there's a lot of guys you want that to be the case from, Joe. I mean, you're talking about over the last few years, you've taken a left tackle that has since been moved to right tackle. You have taken a wide receiver high. You've taken a couple edge rushers pretty high. You've taken, obviously, a quarterback high, and that would be the most important one in this discussion. But there are a lot of young guys that you're – you know, trying to build around, and that you're trying to, you know, make a part of this next core that is going to bring about winning football here with the Tennessee Titans. And if that's going to happen, Joe, in any sort of, you know, relatively quick fashion, you're going to need a lot of these guys that you've drafted high recently to turn into foundational players for you and to reach second contracts. And they don't have to all break the bank, but they need to be able to reach second deals with your team on more often than not. So where do you kind of come down on that? I mean, obviously, in the short term, I think the most immediate concern on that front, Joe, would be your right tackle this year in J.C. Latham.
Yep.
Going to have the sort of season where, you know, you're getting to the end of it next year or this season, and you say, yep, you got to find a way to lock that guy up this offseason. And we talked about this with Mike Herndon a few weeks ago. I mean, I guess you're kind of in some ways hoping for a similar track to Skoronski at this point from Latham, right? I mean, his first year wasn't all that great. They moved positions, and they didn't do that with Skoronski, but he moved positions from left tackle to right tackle. You know, last year he had some injury concerns that he dealt with. He did play better in the second half of the season. So you're hoping this year that from start to finish it's a really good year from J.C. Latham. But, I mean, he is a – you know, these young players, this young core we're talking about in the short term, he's a critical, critical part of this heading into this year.
Yeah, he's of primary concern, and he's one of all these players you talk about. I mean, ultimately, you're like, yes, on all of them. It's just like, what if it actually did work out with everybody, you know? But with Latham, you badly need the discussion this year to be like, okay, so it's trending toward another deal for him, as opposed to, okay, so the Titans are going to draft a left tackle, and what? They're going to try to get a right tackle in the third round, or what are they, you know? That's huge, huge deal. I think he's, other than the obvious, Cam Ward, he's the biggest individual storyline. So you hope that happens. Same draft class. What if Cedric Gray's awesome this year? Which is very possible.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, Robert Saleh's had some pretty good freaking off-ball linebackers in this defense. So then you talk about that, and then you get into, okay, so you paid a guard. Of course you're going to pay a tackle. Every team's going to pay a tackle and a quarterback and receivers, and you've got those two guys from last year. What if Fireman does just kind of blow Ridley away, and you know, it's like he's on the track. But you, among this group, you have you've paid the guard. Now we're talking about an inside linebacker. What if your safety, young safety Winston, blows up this year and he's on that? Again, if all these things happen, first of all, we're going to be celebrating Mike Borgonzi, okay?
Yes.
I mean, Amy will give him like the whistle at the fox hunt and let him be like the honorary whatever, you know, master of ceremonies. But, I mean, it'll be huge for him.
By the way, people are still really mad about T-Rack, by the way. Really mad.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe Borgonzi gets first crack at T-Rack there.
let me adjust the sights for you real quick, Mike. Hold on.
first shot goes to Mike. Why are people so mad? Because they like the other
Oh,
one?
they're mad, yes. I got
They feel
involved in
like
like
it's
three.
Titans erasure.
Yeah, I got involved in like three group texts the other day talking about how much of an idiot I am for not being more mad about this. I was like, okay, thanks, guys.
Well, I never heard anybody saying how much they loved it before.
It may be one of those things that you don't realize how much you love it till it's gone, Joe. I don't
Don't
know.
know what you got till it's gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, I look forward to PK's T-Rack analysis this week. Real quick on that, by the way, I saw like, and some of this stuff on social media is so dumb. It was like, because apparently Andrew went nuts about it, just like a lot of people did. He lost his mind. And so then the thing came up to him and like dapped him up on the sideline. And so like people are mad about it. Like you're a sellout,
Oh, is he
like
supposed
some
to just
weirdo in a
punch the
mask.
mascot in the face?
Exactly. He's like all in your face. Like, okay, put your fist out. Okay, leave me alone. I'm trying to watch football. How dare you, sir? So. Lots of fun going on with the T right now. I forgot what I was saying.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, we're
That's
talking about
okay.
some of these young players that you got to get figured out. I mean, if most of these guys hit, because look, I mean, let's be real. Not all these guys are going to hit when you're talking about
No.
the young players that they got on their roster right now. But can you get a pretty healthy percentage, like of Cam and Latham doesn't even really count because he's not a, from a Borgonzi standpoint, he's not a Borgonzi pick. But from Cam, from Winston, obviously Tate, you got the edge rushers that you've taken in Oladejo and now Falk that you've added to the mix. You know, you mentioned Cedric Gray, that again was a Rand pick there, but there's all these young players that are in there. Can you hit on like 75% of them? Like that's a pretty good percentage. If you can hit on 75% of them, you're probably going to be feeling pretty good about what the core of your team looks like here in a couple of years, right? And obviously, like some of these are more important than others. Like the quarterback is going to top the list. Cornell Tate's pretty important that he hits, right? You know, Latham, pretty important with the position that he plays. That he is. You know, Cedric Gray is a really good player, but he's kind of one of those guys where it's like, all right, with the position he plays, number one, if he does turn into a great player, it's probably not going to require that much money in the grand scheme of things for you to pay him a second contract. And if he doesn't, well, you can go find another linebacker. Like, that's kind of how I view that. So some of this is very, you know, it's position specific too on like the differing levels of importance that some of these dudes hit.
Yeah. And how about the edges? Falk ends up being awesome this year. Oladejo is making a play here or there. What if both of those guys are good? Again, that's great. It's like, wow, incredible drafting. But those are premium positions,
Yes.
Teams don't usually have two guys back to back like that coming up. But again, they're on rookie deals right now, so that's great. If you can get great production out of those guys on their rookie deals, that's huge for you. But those, like you said, those are the positions. Cam, those guys, Tate, Latham. If it's Gray and Winston are your standouts, I mean, you're still going to pay them, but
Well,
you do want a more, like more premium position, quote unquote, than not.
just think about like again from the Latham standpoint in the short term. Think about if he does work out, how much more freedom that gives you in the draft, right? Because I mean, not to get into draft talk, but like if he doesn't hit this year and you're scared to death that he's just going to be a bust, well, all of a sudden you've got to start thinking about left tackle and right tackle if you're Borgonzi. Whereas if he hits and you're feeling really good about right tackle moving forward, yeah, you still got to address left tackle. But it frees you up for other parts of your roster that you're just not having to continually go back into the washing cycle and recycle around here. And that would be great to get to the point where if you're the Titans, you know, this best player available conversation, it would be great if you could truly get into the, hey, we have put ourselves with our roster in a position where that really is what it's about, best player available. Because if it doesn't work out, like if Latham doesn't work out and you're looking for a left tackle and a right tackle, they're going to preach best player available all they want to heading into next year's draft. But guess what they're going to be taking in the first round? It's going to be a tackle at some point, right? So, like, just from a roster flexibility standpoint and being able to, as a general manager, continue to build out your team, you know, if these guys at premium positions hits, it just makes your job so much easier if you're a general manager.
Yeah, the left tackle situation makes it that much more urgent for Latham. That's not his fault, although, well, he was brought in to be a left tackle and then couldn't hack it and went to the right side. But yeah, it's just way too much. This year could go well in a lot of other ways, but if that thing doesn't work out, and again, we're just assuming, I think Dan Moore will be serviceable, and I don't think you should expect more than that. If it's more than that, wow, what a surprise. But at this point in this league, I think he's a pretty known commodity. And if you have that, so you know you have to address it. I mean, I guess if he's fine, you could put that off a year. I mean, you do have one under contract next year, so it's not like, but then, yeah, wouldn't it be great if you can put that off a year? Okay, you know you have to address that. Maybe you do this year because you have someone that whatever you're picking that works. Maybe you don't. But if Latham is bad, then, I mean, it's like, I don't think there's an option.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. More coming up on the Titans coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our YouTube chat and our phone and text lines. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Keep up with training camp with 102.5 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as you get prepped for the upcoming football season. Coverage of training camp presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Craig on the text line says, Latham played the majority of his college ball at right tackle. Titans tried to make him a left tackle. I wouldn't say having to switch positions is on him this year. I'd say it's on the Titans. Hopefully now that he's in a more natural position, he will play better. I hear you. I mean, he was in a more natural position last year and did not play all that much better to start the year. So we'll see what that looks like. I mean, the bottom line is, there are definitely valid excuses you can make for J.C. Latham, but I ain't got a whole lot of time for it this year. Like, it's the year three, you're the seventh overall pick in the draft. It's time to live up and be what you were drafted to be this year if you're J.C. Latham. Excuses aside.
Yeah, totally accurate and fair to bring up that the Titans drafted him. I think they wanted to draft Joe Alt. Jimmy Harbs beat him to the punch. And they were just so adamant that Latham projected as a left tackle. And obviously, again, Bill Callahan said it. Bill Callahan, who knows more than Bill Callahan? So that is on the Titans. But, yeah, he played poorly in both spots. So just saying, they obviously hoped that they had addressed the long-term left tackle, which is a little more valuable because most quarterbacks are right-handed. But, and look, some teams, the Titans, going back, we mentioned Conklin earlier, they decided they didn't want to pay the right tackle. You know, they paid their left tackle, LaJuan. They had other things going on. They said, you know what, we're going to let the right tackle go. We can go back to that decision by John Robinson. And they did make him an offer, but it was low ball compared to, you know, other teams. We can go back to that decision and say, man, imagine all the trouble this organization could have saved by doing something different there and paying both of their tackles. But bottom line with Latham is he has not played anywhere near his draft position wherever he's been on the field.
Joe from Maryland says, if you go through the teams in the AFC South, we have more first or second year players in starting or immediate backup spots. I mean, I'd have to go through and, like, count that up. Probably. I mean, you've got a bunch of draft picks that you've had over the last few years, and you've just not been very good. So you've inserted younger players into some of these more prominent positions. Now, you know, those young players still have to turn out to be good players. Otherwise, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good to be young, right? Like, you've got to build this foundation into, you know, ultimately whether or not they were the right picks. And I think we're still a little bit away from finding that out with a lot of these guys. But, yeah, I mean, if things go the way that we've been talking about the last couple of segments, Joe, and a lot of these younger players do work out, well, you're talking about the next core and foundation of your football team that theoretically could be around for many, many years at that point. That's the hope.
Right. So we may be right now, we may be in the early discovery stages of another really good front office tenure for the Titans. I don't know. There are some positive, you know, there are some positive signs in that regard. But again, that front office, you're just talking about two draft classes. And at this point, it's just, I just, you know, hey, Nicholas Singleton the other night ripped off a big one. There's a fifth rounder. We mentioned earlier, Fernando Carmona, fifth rounder out of Arkansas, is clearly making moves right now on the roster. Is he going to end up being another good value pick for them in the middle rounds? We're going to find out about Anthony Hill and Falk and a lot of other people. But, you know, Io Manor, Helm, DK, Winston, Oladejo, Cam. I mean, that could be an epic draft class.
Yeah.
You got Marcus Harris is starting. I mean, it looks promising and hopeful, especially after a weekend in which your last two first-round picks were carving people up, right?
Yeah. Can I just say a real quick aside?
Yeah.
Like, I saw the Singleton play. So, you know, first off, good burst to him. Like, you're like, okay, well, maybe the Titans have something there. We'll see. But, like, in training camp practices, some of these big runs that get ripped off, it's like I find myself counting, like, okay, what have you been tackled there?
Yeah.
What have you been tackled there?
For sure.
It just feels like there are a lot of runs that get ripped off in training camp that it's like, yeah, well, in an actual NFL game, that was probably about a 6-yard run.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That run did, by the way, have a nice J.C. Latham block to string him. So, like, I think Latham, if they could run the ball this year and if they can be that kind of a team and be a physical team that imposes its will, I mean, I think that suits him. You know, it's just a matter of when it comes down to it, everybody knows you have to throw the ball. Can you block a decent edge in this league without any help?
Can you get what's the over-under sack total that we should set for both Oladejo and Falk combined? Like, if you had to set an over-under for those two combined, what would it be? Like, what would the number be?
I mean, it'd probably be about 7.5.
That was kind of what I was thinking, in that neighborhood, 7.5, 8.5, somewhere like that, which when you think about two players, it should be attainable.
Yeah. And they could blow past it. I mean, one of them could get 7, and it's not like that's some sort of Herculean effort, but it's a great thing if either of them does that, and the other guy gets 2, and there you go. But it's also, you could see them coming under on that too.
I don't know how often. I'm sure. I mean, he's going to be on the field, but how often is, like, Oladejo going to be on the field? Like, if everybody's healthy and you've got Jermaine Johnson and you got Jacob Martin and you got Falk and you got all these other guys, like, how often is Oladejo going to be on the field?
It's a great question. Clearly, Robert Saleh is a big believer in heavy rotation, in fresh legs out there and trying to not give people too many snaps in a row and all that stuff. And so, I mean, if they're good enough to be in a rotation, then I think one or both of them will be out there. But yeah, when it comes down to you're trying to win games, in the most important parts of the game, you get your best people out there. I mean, certainly expect Johnson to be out there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he'll have the most snaps of that group, barring injury, possibly by a significant margin. So yeah, it's a good question. And if you don't see them, you know, again, you could always be like, well, it's just because these guys are a little bit better, but that still doesn't bode well, especially for Oladejo here in year two moving forward. You know, this coaching staff, he was not a choice with this coaching staff system in mind.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Is it time to be concerned about a very specific member of the Tennessee Titans? We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 102.5 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8 o'clock on the program today. By the way, one texter said, we went from a coyote Hamburglar to an actual raccoon for the mascot. People are outraged. So that was kind of the story of Titans discourse over the weekend. A lot of people still upset about T-Rex.
Coyote Hamburglar.
I kind of like it.
That's pretty good. I was going more with the woodchuck beaver kind of thing, which, again, I hadn't even really noticed before until we were presented with a more anatomically correct, I guess, raccoon. But coyote hamburger is pretty good.
Pretty good, man. The more I think about it, I kind of like it.
Yeah. And if your kids liked it or you were a kid growing up and you liked T-Rack, I mean, I heard a lot of people on our station, like I heard Connor Newt talking about it. And he was a kid and he loved T-Rack, you know, and so he doesn't like this. I heard very few people who like this. I guess Vingan is being the dissenting voice and likes the new. My thing is, beyond all the jokes, is like, why is this necessary, you know?
I don't know.
Like, why even spend, like, any time or money on this? Give me a retractable roof. But also, did you see this? Well, you probably didn't because you are smart and not on social media. So someone found, like, whatever, like this whole, like the Titans telling all these people, hey, go to social media and say how awesome this is. Someone listening, you know what I'm talking about. It's somewhere in the, like, Titans marketing department or whatever. Yeah. And so, of course, that gets totally dunked on. I mean, it's also, like, to be completely expected in something like this, right? I mean, it's like, it happens every time. But, yeah, you don't want it. You'd rather that not, like, be leaked to social media because then people are just going to absolutely dunk on you.
So, a member of the Tennessee Titans that I'm starting to wonder, Joe, what this is going to look like by the time the regular season comes around. And that would be Joey Sly, the field goal kicker. So he had a practice last week where he missed 3 field goals. And then on Friday night at the blue and white scrimmage, Joe, he was 2 of 4. He made from 22 and 48, and he missed another 48-yarder and a 53-yarder. So you're talking about 2 of 4 on Friday. He missed 3 in a practice last week. I mean, there was kind of a little bit of a shot from Robert Saleh at the end of the practice, too. He's talking about the offense moving the ball well, and he said, quote, got to finish field goals at the end. Joe, it is not the first time that we have talked about a field goal kicker struggling in camp around here. What do we make of the Joey Sly discourse, and has it reached the point, given what the week that he just had last week, which was not very good, that you're concerned about Joey Sly?
Absolutely. And so are the Titans. It's actually good to, like, Saleh sort of, because we've had some past situations here where Vrabel will be like, oh no, it's fine, and then they're trying out everyone who's ever kicked a football, and obviously Mike Borgonzi is out there, and they're bringing people in.
Yeah.
I mean, I said it last week. It's like, are they going to be bringing people in? Well, here we are, bringing people in, and I don't know, Young Hui Koo is out there. It never looks great. I agree with K Dodds. Like, incredible that there are not 32 decent kickers on earth. But yeah, that tells you it is not easy to consistently get it between those two bars. So it's a concern. I feel like, and I hate to bring up the draft again, Robbie, but maybe at some point they need to go ahead and get into a draft and get someone and see if they can get a long term answer, because it's been a lot of. It's been a lot of wandering the wilderness and some wins squandered over the years because they haven't addressed it well enough.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like Sly was, like, great last year anyway. He missed 7 kicks a year ago. It's not completely awful, but it's not good, right? I mean, he was, what was he, 80% on the year last year, which in today's NFL, like, you need your kicker to be higher than that. I'm sorry. Like, it just,
yes,
you need your kicker to be higher than 80%. And I mean, the good part about Joey Sly is you feel like, I mean, you don't have to get that much on the other side of the 50 to be in field goal range because he's got a big leg. But I mean, the big leg just doesn't do you a whole lot of good if you can't make the gimmies. Like, if you're missing, 45-yard field goals on a regular basis, or you're missing, you know, a 38-yarder, but every now and then you hit a 61-yarder. Well, that's great that you can hit the 61-yarder, but I need you to hit the 45-yarders with regularity. That's kind of what I'm concerned about. So it just kind of feels like the Titans recently have had, like, both sides of the extreme. Like, Randy Bullock was pretty accurate, but Randy Bullock, you felt like he had to get it within 50 yards or he wasn't going to make it. Like, I'd like to have some level of both, like some combo that you feel good about the accuracy and it's got a decent leg. Like, I don't need it to be like Aubrey from Dallas where you can kick a 75-yarder or whatever it is, but like, can we get some sort of balance here in the field goal kicking?
Yeah, I would take a absolute dynamo from 45 and in and just even forget about it after 50. I mean, it's a go for it league anyway. And so to me, then you know what you have. You know, once you get to about the 30, you got points. And if you're fourth and four from the 34, well, you're going to go because you can't count on. I'll take that. I'd take that all day over the huge leg who's erratic. I mean, I'd take Nick Folk, you know?
Last year here with the Titans, he kicked 95% of his field goals went in.
Yeah.
Now, he was limited in his distance, but it was 95%.
Yep. Yeah, take that all day long. So again, like if Koo or somebody, I don't know. I mean, he has had good years. He also has had some huge misses. But that's what I'm prioritizing is short, medium reliability. And look, I think if you have short, medium reliability, you're probably gobbled up by a team already right now, right? But I'll definitely take that over. Well, it's some weird misses here and there in the shorter, but man, I mean, you can line up from the 50 and have a shot. I don't care. It's because it's just if you know what you have, then that helps you. That dictates your decision making. Makes it so much easier during the flow of a game.
Well, we've seen what the kicking carousel can look like around here, and sometimes you get stuck in it, Joe, and it's hard to get out, man. Like what year was it? I don't know, all my years are running together. Was it like 2021, 2020, around there where they could not find a kicker. Like they went through like six of them, and it's like good grief. Can anybody make a kick? Can they keep a kicker around here at all? To the point where, I mean, Randy Bullock ended up, I'm like, oh, okay, Randy Bullock's out there. That's fine. Like you mentioned Nick Folk. Like, again, Nick Folk, if he got much beyond 50 yards, he didn't feel great about it. But inside 50, dude was automatic. Like I said, his last year here was 95.5% was what he made. So, you know, 80% from Joey Sly last year is just not good enough. And, again, I like the big leg. But the big leg doesn't do you a whole lot of good if you're just missing kicks all the time. So it's 1 week of practice. Hopefully he can rebound here because the Titans are clearly looking at other options right now. But that's not what you want. We've talked about a lot of things today that can help your offense and help your young quarterback. Well, you don't want the kicker coming in there and screwing it up. That would be a big-time development on the negative end of things.
So wait, did he miss seven or did he miss five? Five last year. I have it 22 of 27. Which
I have
is still
28 of 35.
Oh, okay. That's strange. I'm looking at bad stats then. I mean, his overall, of course, I'm now citing bad stats possibly, but it looks like his overall percentage is about 81. Again, that's why Carolina to Houston to San Francisco to Washington, New England to Tennessee. He's a journeyman because it's just not quite there. And every one of these teams is like, got to be a little bit better than that. You know, got to be a little bit better than that. I mean, he's missed 10% of his extra points.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard to find. I mean, it's hard to find. But I would say that this week is probably his job.
Yes.
Like, that's how it goes. So you can't mess around. And the one good thing about, for all the caveats about performance, with every other position, really, in training camp, is you can always say, yeah, okay, but does that really mean the DB was worse or, you know, whatever. This is simple. Make kicks. This is the operation. This is your snapper. This is your holder. This is exactly what you're doing. And if you think this pressure's high, okay, we're gonna put you in a stadium with 70,000 people, and you're on television, you know. So, like, if you're missing these kicks now, that's all the information you need. So, Yeah, I mean, I think we could be talking about a different kicker a week from now. And if that's the case, like you said, it's just like that probably means a game or two that you should win that you'll lose this coming season.
Yeah, because you're not there with your kicker. And somebody already says, like, draft Brock Taylor from Vanderbilt. I mean, like, in all seriousness, like, that may, whether it's Brock Taylor or somebody else, like, at some point, you're probably going to have to get to the point where you devote, like, a sixth or seventh round pick to the kicker, right? Like, you're probably eventually going to have to do it just to try to find a long-term answer there at some point.
Ian Safar is on the YouTube chat suggesting the Cats kicker.
Hey.
It happens.
I've heard that stuff happens. I've heard he's a beast. They have some crazy kickoff rules. You know, I don't know all the rules in arena football, but they have some long distance kickoffs. And if you get it in between the upright, which apparently is thinner and a little bit taller, smaller uprights, you get it in there, you get a couple extra points, and the dude's been nails.
I don't care where you get him from. Just make the kicks. You know?
Well, you mentioned Aubrey. What was that dude? Selling bricks?
It was right? Something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, wow, this guy can kick it 75 yards.
I mean, sometimes people hit like a different level of muscle memory, you know, when they're in their like mid-20s or whatever. So, time for some tryouts, I guess.
615-737-1025. Here's our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rexroad.
My face is huge. Look at that.
The agreement was bigness. Bigness.
Do not mess with a raccoon if you see them in daylight.
Oh, look at the cute raccoon with rabies.
Watch those coyotes. They mate.
I'm the one who can't hear Shaq talk on the television. Oh, my God. Look how big he is. He dunks.
Do you think you have ownership of the word dookie?
A lot of soiling going on today.
I feel completely naked. I don't know that I have especially pointy nipples.
It is time for the Rex Rant, served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. It's time for a pivot. I was going to complain about like the college athletics and the politicians of Washington completely screwing up another bill, but yeah, we can do that anytime, right?
We can't.
If you were listening at the beginning of the show, I informed people, you know, at 5:45 a.m. this morning, first day of school at my house, it was a full-on, like, Zoom call with my daughter and a whole bunch of her friends. Like, you know, breaker, I'll be wearing the aviator sweatshirt, green, you take blue, you know. So,
it's like a trucking radio? What's going
on? Got your feet on good, buddy? So that was going on. And I'm here because we have a tradition. And you know, of course, we are old people who are running quickly out of time to enjoy these traditions. But going all the way back to like when Jack, you know, when his first day of kindergarten, Katie takes a picture, you know, took a picture of him on the porch. And then after school, we get ice cream. Okay. And so then Brennan gets old enough. And then, you know, Jackson, whatever, third grade, and Brennan's in kindergarten. We take a picture of them all through the years. Then Caroline gets to kindergarten, and so we have all three of them for a while, and then Jack moves on to college, and we have Brennan and Caroline. Of course, by then it's like, oh, I don't hate these stupid pictures. You know, it's like, I don't care, you're taking the freaking picture. And boy, let me tell you, it was hard for a couple of years there with Brennan. It's like, hey, just look at the camera real fast. But my whole job today was just make sure we get the picture. Junior year, we have 2 years left of this, okay?
Yep.
So we have a conversation last night. Because Katie's out of town, so I have to deal with this. So conversation like, okay, Caroline, so school starts at 7:40. What, you're getting picked up? You know, she figured she'd get picked up about 6:40-ish or so. Now, that's early. I mean, like, we're a block from the school. I mean, you have to drive around, you know. But, of course, they have to go get some, like, whatever, weird-flavored coffee frozen drink at this place. Okay, fine. Okay, so at 6:30, we have a break from radio. I will jump out, grab my camera, take a nice picture, See you later. Okay, have a first day of school. Well, at 6:17, right after we start our second segment, her friend pulls up. And there's Gus barking like crazy. There's Quinn barking like crazy. There's me muting myself as someone on the text line has noticed this, because they sent me screenshots of me screaming. So meanwhile, so Robbie is like talking about Cam Ward. I'm getting like one of every four words he's saying. I'm like, shut up, Gus. Shut up, Quinn. Stop it. Stop it. I'm like trying to get them to quiet down. I'm on mute. No idea. Like completely botching the segment. Apparently, she thinks I'm yelling at her, and now her friend also thinks I'm yelling at them. Like, take the damn picture! No, I'm yelling at the dogs to shut up. So Caroline, like, scrambles, has her friend take a picture. I haven't seen it. Whatever, she tried. They get out of here. Now Caroline texts me like, you scared my friend. How could you yell at us? Like, I was yelling at the dogs to shut up! So anyway, now I'm the psycho dad who yells at my daughter about taking a picture and scares her friend, and everybody's mad, and I screwed it up, and
this is what happens when Katie leaves the house.
We may not get ice cream. We may have to break the ice cream tradition too. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm sorry.
This is one of the benefits of when you're at home and I've got the Zoom feed up, I can see what's happening with you.
Oh, we noticed.
So we noticed. So like I saw you on mute yelling. So I just kept talking. You know, I just kept talking about Cam Ward. I probably could have stopped I probably could have stopped my point about a good minute and a half before I actually did. But I just kept going. And then I finally felt safe enough to hand it off to you. And Ian got in my ear right after that and said, he's yelling at somebody. So we noticed it. It was fun.
Well, the thing is, it's like, no, that was, and I was wondering too. I was like, okay, keep it going. There you go. Keep it going.
I was prepared to talk the whole time if I needed to.
Yeah. And again, so the thing is, if the friend came, and obviously you hope it's quick picture, you hope it's during a break, go, dogs are always going to bark. But then when the friend stops and then gets out of the car, and now it's an absolute just, I mean, Gus and Quinn are just losing their minds. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, not this. So
really, you were yelling at the friend when it gets down to it.
Well, I was yelling at the dogs to shut up. I mean, the friend, I guess, kind of caused it. But again, I'm not.
Don't have to worry about them coming over to your house ever again.
I'm not.
Hey, playing chess?
If from now on, if you want to talk to Caroline, breaker, good buddy. Got Smokey on my tail. No, I mean, the friend did nothing wrong. No one, it's just timing didn't work out.
You better hope that picture came out, Joe.
Yeah, it better be good.
You could be in big time trouble.
She needs to put it in the group chat right now.
I mean, we're talking years and years, two decades of stuff here.
It's going to be a disaster.
Down the tube.
That's true, but would anyone actually notice if I took the picture after school? Like, how do we know? Years from now, as we go through all the pictures of the kids, like, how are we going to know that, like, this was a picture taken in the afternoon?
You'll know.
Well,
time stamp.
Where's the angle of the sun?
Shadows.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, I hope it's good. I probably should ask to see it. So, I'm sorry, Katie.
So what you're saying is you may be totally screwed here. This could be bad for you.
It could be, but again,
you should have just told us to figure it out for 5 minutes, gone out there and taken the picture. We've done that.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess I could have done that. But, I don't.
I mean, you're already home today for the first day of
school.
It's not
fair to you guys.
To mess, if you're going to go in, you got to go all in.
Well, every now and then I'll look on the video feed and I can see Rex Rhodes just totally flustered about something. So that's my cue to just keep talking, just keep going. So that's what I did.
Usually just me like put my hand like, well, that's good. I'm glad that you, because honestly, I generally don't like if it's me in there and you were home, I usually don't look. So I have no idea what's going on with you. So I'll just be like, Robbie, your point? And you're like, you have total chaos going on. Like, Robbie,
every now and then Joe does this thing where we get a commercial break and Joe will wait until like 25 seconds are left in the break, and he decides that that's the time to get up and go like do stuff. So then I have to bring the video feed up to make sure that he's there. Otherwise, I could be talking to nobody.
Yeah, there is that too. K-Dad points out that the Uber driver said, oh, that's the show that yells.
Yeah.
But again, I was just recreating my yelling from earlier. I did at least mute myself during that, right?
Long fuse.
Joe Rex Rage, somebody says online. I mean, there continues to be so many things we can do with your last name. It's great.
Yeah, and many things have been done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone says, you need to write a book, Dad, First Day of School, The Kentucky Gas Debacle. Yeah, no, I'm definitely a what not to do parent book is definitely in me. I would say so. Chad says, yeah, you're right. Katie will know. I don't know if the sun is, the east is behind our house, so we face the west. So I think midday, because it is a half day. So I think midday, I don't think it would be that big of a difference. If it was later in the day when the sun's, you know, like
starting to set
toward
yeah.
us, then that might be a problem. But I think if I hadn't freaked out and told Katie already that I screwed it up, then I might have been able to save this. But I can't not be honest, man. I can't.
It's just a character fault of yours. Like you're honest Abe out there, pretty much.
Exactly. Cut down the cherry tree. You know. Also, honest and well, you know, whatever details. And honest, and also trying to pawn off the responsibility on Caroline.
There's also that.
Yeah.
They're going half day the first day. Is that a thing? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just to ease in, you know.
I guess. It's yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know how much you really get out of that, but I'm not complaining.
I think it's good for the youngers. You know, maybe the older kids probably could use a full day. The youngers to
just
get
ease into it.
Half
yeah.
day, get back into the routine.
Makes sense.
And then start again. Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin in Nashville says he worries about fireworks for Gus, but will then scream at them. Poor dogs can't win.
Maybe that's what I should. Maybe that I should have a firecracker on hand and just like blow one up. He'll shut right up.
We'll get these dogs quiet one way or the other. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road 102.5 The Game.